we're in, the second half of this sugya, right? Let's just remind ourselves. Sugya is talking about whether, the mission is talking about whether we give one or two punishments. Right? That's the nature of the Mishnah.
Machlokes.
One or two punishments, Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan. Yeah. Rabbi Meir says you give two punishments, Rabbanan say no, only one. That's the basis of the Mishnah. We then learned out in the first half of our Gemara, which is not what we're going to cover today, we did that, the reason between Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir. Rabbanan only learned one punishment because you can only have one. Kedei Shatah only allows you to give one. And Rabbi Meir, he learned out you're allowed to because he learned it out from Motzi Shemra. Because there's a place in the Torah where you can have two punishments. And if you see there's a place in the Torah where you specifically can have two punishments, and also two here, and he learns over that it's the same rule. But that's not what we're dealing with now.
That was the first topic, right?
So that was the first topic. That was just a small refresher. Now, in the second half, the alternative explanation where Ullah comes in as follows. Ika d'mitnei, who are those he teach as follows. Lahada Ullah aha, that Ullah was speaking about this.
Something else.
Not the first half of the Gemara. A different explanation that Ullah's phrase was useful. Where did Ullah use his comment? In a different thing. The Tanya, it was taught in a brighter about the Korban Pesach. Lo tatiru mimenu ad boker. You're not allowed to leave it over till morning. Right? You have to eat it. Can't leave it over till morning. Vanota mimenu ad boker eish tzareh. And anything that you do leave over till the morning, you need to burn in a fire. So, that's the passage in the Torah. Along comes the Braita with two opinions about how to explain that pasuk. First opinion is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says from that pasuk you can learn as follows: Va'katuv litein aser acharei lo taseh. Rabbi Yehuda says that pasuk comes to teach you an aser, a positive commandment to burn the leftovers after the negative. Don't leave it over. Why? What does that structure bring you? The assay comes, lomar, to tell you, she'ein lokin alav. There's an assay which says that to rectify it, you need to burn it in the morning. Rabbi Yehuda says that comes to teach you that there's no lashes for messing up on the lav. There's no lashes. You don't get lashes for that. How do you know that? Because there's an assay, the Torah gave that structure to teach you that rule. Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says no. That's not how I learn out the rule that you don't get lashes. I also agree you don't get lashes, Rabbi Akiva says, but there's a different way of learning that out. It's a more simple, fundamental answer. What's that? Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lo min Hashem huzeh. It's not for that reason. It's not the ikar. It's not the real reason why they don't get lashes. Ella, rather the real reason why they don't get lashes in that case is, Mishum dahavelei lav she'ein bo maseh. Because over here we've got a lav, she'ein bo maseh. The lav is a knot. Do not leave it over. That's the lav. Do not leave it over. It's a Torah commandment not to do something. It's called a lav. She'ein bo maseh, but there's no action involved in that lav. Some lavs have an action. Do not eat treif. That is an action. But not to leave it over. You didn't do anything. So that's a lav. A lav she'ein bo maseh. There's no, you didn't do anything.
It's a passive.
You omitted to do something. When you omit to do something, you can still do an Avera. By omitting to do something, I didn't do anything, but it's an Avera. And so the Avera that I did is called a lav she'ein bo maseh. There's no action involved in that. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva learns out from that and says that's a more fundamental rule of the Torah. You don't need to come to the second stage, which is to notice the fact that there's also an assay afterwards. You're right, there is an assay after that lav. And you're right, if you have a case of an assay after a lot, I say you're right. It comes to teach you that there's no lashes, but that's secondary. You don't even need to get there.
You don't need to get that stage.
You don't need to get that stage. The fact that you got to a lav without a maseh, so the rule is clear at that point. You're right, if you keep reading, you'll get to an essay. But I don't need it. So, what does he say? So, Rabbi Akiva, says, the reason is, it's a lav she'en bo maseh. The whole lav she'en bo maseh ain lokim alav. And Rabbi Akiva gives us a rule that says that all lavim she'en bo maseh, you don't give lashes. In any situation where you find a lav in the Torah that has no asset, that has no action connected to it, you don't give lashes for that.
Call over again.
Okay. Now, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda did not, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda gave a different reason, he gave the asset as a reason, meant that when he was learning his Torah and he came to this lav, he needed to keep reading in order to get to the fact that you don't give lashes. He didn't stop after the lav and say, I see from here you don't give lashes. He had to keep reading. So what we learn from here, we hear that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that, because otherwise he wouldn't have needed to get to the assay that comes afterwards. But he did need to get to the assay. He said the reason why you don't get lashes in this case is because there's an assay after it. The fact that he needed to get there shows that he doesn't hold by the first opinion. Because if he would hold by that first opinion, he would never have said that the reason over here is because you get to an assay. He would never have said that. So we therefore, the Gemara says, Miklal de Rabbi Yehuda, we learn from what Rabbi Yehuda said, that Savar, that he holds, Lav She'en Bo Maseh, Lokin Alav. He holds that a Lav She'en Bo Maseh, a Lav where there is no action, you actually do give lashes. He doesn't hold the Rabbi Akiva. So now we know he holds the opposite, that you give lashes in the case of a Lav She'en Bo Maseh. The Gemara wants to know, where did he know that from? How did he learn that out? Manale, where did he learn it from? So now we have the meat of our sugya.
I'm sorry, can you back up again?
Yes.
How about Rabbi Yehuda, right?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, wait, are you want me to read out?
Just back up what you just said.
To Miklal. Miklal de Rabbi Yehuda. From the klal of Rabbi Yehuda. From the law of Rabbi Yehuda. Right, that means, what law do we have of Rabbi Yehuda? We had a law that assay that follows up.
I thought they explained it here, that you suffer, you can...
It's implied out from what Rabbi Yehuda said. Meaning
right.
From the law that Rabbi Yehuda gave us, the law that he gave us, which is that there's an assay followed that comes after a lot assay, from the fact that he gave us that law, from his ruling, it comes out that he must hold the other way on the Rabbi Akiva.
He doesn't hold Rabbi Akiva.
He doesn't hold Rabbi Akiva. Miklal, from the law of Rabbi Yehuda, Savah, he holds, or we learn out, one would think, that he holds that Alav She'en Bo Maseh, Lokin Alav, we do give lashes.
So he's saying Rabbi Akiva should hold the other way that he's holding.
No.
Rabbi Akiva is
says no lashes, negative only, no positive.
Right, and because Rabbi Yehuda gives a different reason, you've got a machloket between them. So we say that Rabbi Yehuda is not holding by Rabbi Akiva, otherwise he wouldn't have a machloket. For a start, one of the reasons.
If he agreed with Rabbi Akiva, then he wouldn't have to come on to
this. Because the Braita has two opinions. The Braita comes along. The Braita comes along to give you two opinions. The Braita says, I've got a pasuk. And the Braita says, from this pasuk, I have two opinions. A, Rabbi Yehuda, B, Rabbi Akiva.
I understand the basic fundamentals between the two. But now it seems like Rabbi Yehuda changing Rabbi Yehuda and knocking out the positive that I say afterwards, the negative, a lot.
No, I hear what you said.
That's what it seems like to me. You're changing Rabbi Yehuda's svara.
We're changing Rabbi Yehuda's svara not in this pasuk. In this pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda is holding that it's an asset. The reason why I can tell you in this pasuk that we don't give him lashes, says Rabbi Yehuda, is only because it's an asset followed by a lot asset. From there, I learn he doesn't hold by Rabbi Akiva.
Right, of course. Okay.
Yes.
I have a good shot at McClough.
Go on.
That clarifies the scenario.
Go on.
McClough is from X. you learn the inference of why. M is a from, and the cloud is it means inference. So from, and it's like an expression. That's why you have the whole word. That's why you can't read it. From, that's how you read it. From that of Rabbi Yehuda. Klal Sofer, that's how you read in English. From that of Rabbi Yehuda, from that what he said. Klal, you have an inference that he holds. Why?
Okay.
And then that clarifies the pshat, exactly. Okay. Meaning from what he said, you have this following inference. So it's
that
not that we're changing
agree.
His far, rather it's an inference from that what he said, and it works with the pshat of the klal.
He doesn't agree with Rabbi Akiva's.
Correct.
Can I do it? Yeah, you okay?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'll tell you after.
Okay, Yofi. So now we know by inference. We're suggesting, we don't know, but we're suggesting that logically it seems that Rabbi Yehuda has a different rule to Rabbi Akiva. Right? We're saying he holds the opposite. He doesn't hold by Rabbi Akiva. Now, because we've got to that inference, we haven't got Rabbi Yehuda that says that. It's in the cloud. We're learning, inferring from that he must hold the other way. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's true, he does hold the other way. Where from? He still needs a source to hold that way. So what's his source? What's Rabbi Yehuda's source for holding that a lav she'ein bo maaseh, a lav that you don't have a maaseh, you still give lashes? How does he know that? Where did he learn that from? So now the sugya deals with that question. How can we learn a source for Rabbi Yehuda? So Amar Ola gives us an answer. Amar Ola.
And this is the Ola that we said above. That is applying, doesn't apply above, that's the suggestion. Uh-huh. It applies here, and that's where we're kicking in Ula.
Yeah.
This is the answer to the, like, the
connection.
Well, how would you say the connection?
Right. Yeah, fair. So this is where Ula said the rule comes in, that he learns from Motzi Shemra. What did he learn? Rabbi Yehuda learned from Motzi Shemra. Above, Rabbi Meir was learning from Motzi Shemra, but here we're having Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's learning his source from Motzi Shemra. What's his source? Let's remember, Rabbi Yehuda has a rule. Rabbi Yehuda's rule is, if you have a lav she'ein bo maaseh, you give lashes. You give lashes in that case. And we need to find a source that allows him to say that rule. So what's the source? Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra is a case where you have a lav she'ein bo maaseh, where you give lashes. He has a source. So let's see that inside. He learns it from Motzi Shemra. Ma Motzi Shemra, lav she'ein bo maaseh, just like Motzi Shemra is a lav she'ein bo maaseh, but lokin alav, and we give lashes over there. Af kol lav she'ein bo maaseh, so too, Rabbi Yehuda says, any case where you have a lav she'ein bo maaseh, lokin alav, you can give lashes, we give lashes. I can learn it out from Motzi Shemra. It's a valid construction of how to learn Torah. How do I learn Torah rules? I don't know what the law is, so I look for a case in the Torah where this same conditions apply, and I see what the law is over there. I see the same conditions apply. It's a lav she'ein bo maaseh. I say, what do we do over there? So we know over there that we give lashes. So I'm going to apply it over here too.
I thought you'd basically that we say they basically knew the law. We're just trying to find support or a source for it. The basic law, I think they do.
Well, no, because here we have a difference of opinion, so you can't say. You've got two different rabbis with two fundamentally different
Rabbi
answers.
Akiva,
right? So they're doing two different things. Okay, so we're learning out Rabbi Yehuda from Motzi Shemra. Because it's also a standard case of as a lav she'ein bo maaseh, and we give lashes. But the Gemara challenges that and says, no, we can't use that as a standard case to learn from. Why not? Ma la Motzi Shemra, what is there to Motzi Shemra? Shekein lokin mashalem. You're right, Motzi Shemra is a lav she'ein bo maaseh. It is our standard fundamental template. It's a lav she'ein bo maaseh. But it has something different, something unique.
And you do get Malchus.
You do get Malchus over there, and we would like to learn from it. But there's something special that's unique about Motzi Shemra. It has something that means that it's not a rule that a template we can apply elsewhere. Because this template is flawed. This template has something else.
Template.
This framework. This source has something that nothing else does. What's special about this template, this source, It's got loket v'shalem. It has lashes and payment. And we know that that's unusual. That's an unusual case where you get two punishments. Lashes and payment. And therefore, in all other cases of the Torah, that doesn't apply. And therefore, this is not a standard case I can learn from. This is a unique case. You can't learn from unique cases. So we need to find a different source. So now, at this point of the Gemara, we've thrown that out. Mati Shemra doesn't work. Mati Shemra doesn't work. Ela, so we throw it out. Let's find a different source to Rabbi Yehuda. Where does Rabbi Yehuda learn from? It's not from Mati Shemra. Doesn't work. Different source. Reish Lakish says, I'll tell you where Rabbi Yehuda learns from. From Adim Zomamin. He learns from Adim Zomamin. Why does he learn from Adim Zomamin? Because Mala Adim Zomamin, Lav Shein Bo Maaseh. Alokin Alav. Adim Zomamin is a case where it's a Lav Shein Bo Maaseh. It's a don't do it, you're not allowed to do it. But there's no action. There's only a deep oil, that doesn't count as action. And we still give lashes. So that must be the source for Rabbi Yehuda. And because in that case we give lashes, Af Kol Lav Shein Bo Maaseh, Alokin Alav. You can make an assumption. So too, any case where you have a lav she'ein bo maaseh, you give lashes, just like you see in Adim Zomamim. So too, every other case.
That's right.
So too, every case. First of all, we have to challenge it. So that looks good. Not yet. No, not yet. So then the Gemara says, very nice, I hear, but there's a problem also with Adim Zomamim. Adim Zomamim is also not a good template to learn out all lavim she'ein bo maaseh. Why not? Because Edim Zomamim also has something special. Mala Edim Zomamim. What is there to Edim Zomamim? Shekein Ein Tzricha Hatra'a. That it doesn't need Hatra'a. That's also something unique about Edim Zomamim. All other Lavim of the Torah require Hatra'a. But this one, meaning, generally speaking, all other require. And here we have something unique. Edim Zomamim doesn't require Hatra, doesn't require a warning, and therefore it can't be the template. It has a problem, it has a flaw, it has something unique that applies to it that we can't say applies elsewhere.
Yeah, it's not a flaw, it's something special.
Something special, and it might be that special thing that causes the lashes. The Chumra over there, the fact that it's a unique case. What do we want to say? We want to say the characteristics of this case are what give you the rule, the din. The din that comes out, the law that comes out, comes from the characteristics of the case. You give me a case with the same characteristics, and I'll tell you it's the same law. Right? That's how we learn halacha. If you come to a rabbi, and you say, Rabbi, what do I do in this case? So rabbi takes your case and says, well, what are the characteristics of your case? It was a milky spoon in a meaty dish. So there's no Torah that dealt with a milky spoon in a minty dish, and right? So what did he do? He takes the characteristics of what you just told him, and he applies the law. The law over here in your case must be the same as the law over there in that case. Why? Because it's got the same characteristics. Over there, there was milk. Over there was meat. And there was tref. Over there was Shabbos, and over there you're not allowed to do a malach, and you come out with the same law. So too here. How do I know what to give a lav she'ein bo maaseh? And so we give lashes. Why? Because I learned out from the Torah that told me in the characteristic case, when you have characteristic A and characteristic B, then you give the din of lashes in every case. So what we're saying. So we want to say that every case where you've got a lav, you've got a don't do, and there's no maaseh, all those cases, you give lashes. But not if you find there's a problem, if you find there's something specific. When you go to the rabbi and you say, Rabbi, I've got a case. I'm going to Israel and I only want to keep one day Yom Tov. I understand that all people in Israel only keep one day Yom Tov. I'm that same case. I'm a person in Israel with Yom Tov. Jew, Israel, Yom Tov. It's the same. Must be the same rule. Over there, those Jews in Israel are keeping one day. And here, I'm a Jew in Israel also keeping one day. That's right. He says, no, there's a difference over there. There's a difference in that case, and so you have a different judgment. You'd have a different rule that you learn out. The difference over there, it's because you're living there and you're not living there, you're temporary and they're permanent. And that's a relevant rule. And we're saying here too, there's a relevant rule that stops you from giving that same din, that stops you from saying locking, that stops you from giving lashes. Why? Because we've got something else here. We've got a unique situation. You're right, it's got part of the rule, it's got certain characteristics. The characteristic which it does have is it's a lav she'ein bo maaseh. But what it doesn't have, in the case of Eden Zomamim, is the fact that you haven't got a hatra'ah. You don't require hatra'ah. And that's relevant. And in the first case, the fact that it had in Motzi Shemra, what do we have in Motzi Shemra? You had the two punishments. The two punishments. So therefore I can't fit those two cases together. Therefore you can't learn the same law out here as you try to learn out here. Rabbi Yehuda, you can't learn that it's a template and applies across the board. Why? Because there's something unique. Okay, so up to this point, both of those options have now been thrown out. Motzi Shemra is thrown out because it's got uniqueness, it's got two punishments. Eden Zomamim has been thrown out because it's got uniqueness because it's got a hatra'ah. It's no warning. You don't need hatra'ah. It's got something unique. So the Gemara tries a different tack, you're right. Individually, neither of those is going to prove Rabbi. We're trying to prove Rabbi Yehuda here. That's what we're trying to do.
We're trying to find a source.
A source for Rabbi Yehuda. Neither of those gives me a source for Rabbi Yehuda. You can't rely on either of them. Try and rely on Motzi Shemra? No. I can disprove you. Try and rely on Eden Zomamim? I can also disprove you from that. So what am I going to do to prove Rabbi Yehuda, to give him a source? I'm going to do Sad HaShaveh. I'm going to take both of them, that common thread in both, and say that common thread allows me to give the rule. Why? Not because it's a common thread. That's not the learning. It's not simply because it's part of the learning. There is a common thread. Yeah, fair. And that's what's going to bring me into it. But why does that common thread allow me? The common thread, I'll say outside, we'll see inside. The common thread allows me, what is the common thread to start with? The common thread is the fact that both of them are a lav she'ein bo maaseh. This is a lav she'ein bo maaseh called Motzi Shemra. And this is a lav she'ein bo maaseh, it's called Eden Zomamim. They're both lav she'ein bo maaseh. That's the common thread. Just because they have the common thread, so what? So the reason is the common thread allows me to disprove the problems that we found in each. It's the problem that we found in each that we had to throw out Rabbi Yehuda from. What do we say? We said the problem that we found in each meant that you can't learn the rule out from it. We said in Motzi Shemra, the reason why you can't learn out Motzi Shemra is because it's got something unique about it. It's got two punishments. And we said the reason why you can't learn out from Eden Zomamim is because it's got something unique about it. It's got no hatra'ah. But now we're saying each one will come and disprove the other. How? Not simply because there's an equal thread, but rather for the following reason. Because if you take Eden Zomamim, which is the flow of the Gemara says, take Eden Zomamim. And we say you can't learn out from Eden Zomamim. Why? Because it's got a special thing. It's got no hatra'ah. And that's the reason why you can't learn out from it. So the Gemara says that the technique is called that the, well, it tries to say that the other one will prove it. The other one will come and prove it. Let's say, there's two steps here. Let's say that the reason why you can't learn out from Eden Zomamim is because there's no hatra'ah. But I can show you that in a case of Motzi Shemra, there is hatra'ah. And the law still applies. So it's not that hatra'ah is irrelevant. You want to tell me that hatra'ah is a relevant obstacle, factor, and it's not relevant. Because I can show you it in another case. But then we say that the law of Motzi Shemra then comes to prove the case that you don't need, that even in a case where there's no hatra'ah, you can still have Eden Zomamim. But then we can come back and argue. You can get lashes. But then we can say, but that's a flawed rule by itself, because that rule doesn't prove anything, because that rule is also unique, because that rule has the law that it's got two punishments applying to it. And then you would want to bring that in and say, but the law of two punishments is also not key, because you've got the case of Edom Zolomim, where we see that it's not the law of two punishments which gives you the law of Malkoth. That's not the proving factor. But each one still has a flaw. And that's why it says a Chozer Adin, because you can't... We're actually not learning. I made a mistake. We're not learning from each one against the other. Ultimately, we're going to say that Chozer Adin, if you try and prove...
Are you saying commonality is that they each have their own uniqueness? It's basically what you're saying. The commonality is that they each have their own uniqueness?
No, I said wrong.
In the end, we are going to learn from that thread. In the end, we are going to learn from the Shadah Shaveh that the fact that they have a commonality is what allows us to learn out.
And each one doesn't have the special particulars that we thought that would cause us not to be able to learn from it. We see that's not a factor in both, in either one. And therefore, you can see that special factor won't prevent us from learning from it.
Yes, sir.
I think I have the appeal.
Go on. Okay, go on.
This is the appeal, I think. So we just learned that Ein Tzricha Hasra is the factor that stops us from learning out the klal from Edom Zayimim to the klal. So that factor stops us. So we say Maitzi Shemra Yechia. So let Maitzi Shemra prove Rabbi Yehuda, because Maitzi Shemra does not have this factor stopping it.
Right.
And the answer is because they're a din. You go back on the din and Maitzi Shemra because it has another factor stopping it. That's the pshat in both of those.
Nachon.
Loi ruizin.
I hear, but my question would be on that pshat, that if we can say that that Maitzi Shemra comes to say that you can learn from Edom Zolomim, and you should be able to stop there.
No, that's not what it. That's not,
I know that's not what he's doing. I know what's not fun, but
that's
why.
Doing.
Why
that's
not?
What we're doing. Sorry. We said before that the factor that stops you from learning out the Klal of Rabbi Yehuda is Ein Tzricha Hasra.
Yeah.
So we say, fine, if that's the factor that stops you out from learning the Klal of Rabbi Yehuda, so I might see Shemra Yechia. Let might see Shemra, because it does not have that factor stop you, learn out the halacha from might see Shemra.
And then
we have a kasha, because they're a din.
Okay,
you're right, it doesn't have that factor, but it has another factor, like we said, stopping it originally.
Okay, very good.
That's it.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So then what do we come to? Let's try and...
Look in the words.
Take it easy.
Look in the words.
Do you want me to? Do you want me to say what you said?
Or
you? Okay, so I'm going to try and say how he explained. She said like this: the first reason we looked at had a problem. Moshe Shemra had a problem. So then we learned had something special.
Fine.
So then we learned out from a different reason, but we saw the different reason had something special.
Right.
So then,
Edom
Zolomim had something special. So then the Gemara says, so Motzi Shemra Yochia, Motzi Shemra will come and prove that that factor in Edom Zolomim.
Let me just say it like this. We said that this concept of you don't need a warning, it stops you from learning out from Edom Zolomim to Rabbi Yehuda's klal. Right? That's what we said.
You give lashes in a lap bone.
Right. So we said that you can't learn out from Edom Zayimim because Edom Zayimim has a certain chiddush. It's special. It's a special case, and you can't learn out from this special case. So this Ein Tzricha Hasra, the fact that it doesn't have a warning, is what's stopping you from learning out Rabbi Yehuda's rule from it. And then we say, well, Maitzi Shemra Yechia, Maitzi Shemra Yechia. So let Maitzi Shemra prove to you Rabbi Yehuda's klal. Why? Because Maitzi Shemra does not have this concept of no warning required, stopping you from learning out Rebbe, who does klal from? It doesn't. So that's what we're saying. That's a preposition. And then the kasha is bechazar adin. The kasha is that if you do that, you're right. It does not have ein srikin hasra stopping you from learning out to Rebbe Yehuda's klal, but you can't learn out from Maitzi Shemra because it has something else stopping you from learning out Rebbe Yehuda's klal, which is loike mishalim, which is the fact that it's a chumra with two dinim.
Yes, okay. Two punishments.
So the Gemara says Chazadim. Then we go around in circles. Chazadim. We go back from one to the other like ping pong. We're not going to get a result. Why not? Lori is there, and ultimately Lori is there, Kari is there. The proof of this one is not the same as the proof of that one, or the nature of this one. Lori is there. Is Lori is there? Is not the same as this one. Lori is there, Kari is there. Right? They both have different reasons for.
Why you can't learn something out. Special.
Right, they both have different
things. Both have special things.
Different things that prevent you learning from them. But what they do have in common is a sad hashaber. What they have in common, the side that is equal, the side that is the same in both, shabahem, the commonality, what is that? It's a lav she'ein bo maaseh, but lo kin alav. They both have together the same thing, which is that they're a lav she'ein bo maaseh, and you give lashes. So therefore, because of that, why don't we learn out, the Gemara says, or you can learn out from the Sadeh Shaveh, af kol lav, therefore any lav, she'ein bo maaseh, lo kin alav. Right, we see that the obstacle in each case is not an obstacle. How do we learn that out? Only from both of them together. The fact that both of them come together mean that those obstacles are not unique obstacles. They just happen to be factors of the specific cases. And therefore, the commonality holds true as a general law. Therefore, you can learn out from the Sadeh Shaveh that you do give lashes, like Rabbi Akiva, like Rabbi Yehuda says, in a case where there's a lav she'ein bo maaseh. But the Gemara challenges that assumption too. Why? How does it challenge that assumption? It's a commonality. Ma letzad she'ein bahem shabahem. Sorry. What is it about the commonality, the sad hashaveh shabahem? She'ken kanas. The problem with the commonality now is that in both of them, we have a uniqueness now that applies to both. And that is a problem. What's the uniqueness that applies to both? The uniqueness is that they're both a kanas. Both Motzi Shemra and Edim Zomimim are kanas. The lashes that we give in both are a kanas. They're fine. They're not... they're both... And other cases where we give... lashes is not a kanas. It's a simple punishment from the Torah. But this is a kanas. And therefore the kanas is what makes it unique. The kanas brings it out of the general rule, and we can't learn from it, because here we're talking about kanas in both cases. And so those both cases are unique. Originally we said each one was unique by itself, and that's what took it out of being in a valid template. Now we're saying both of them together have a uniqueness that applies to both of them. That's a kanas, and therefore you can't use it as a valid template. But the Gemara says, don't worry, I can sweep away that argument. Why? Because I can tell you, halakasha, it's not a problem. Rabbi Yehuda, who we're trying to prove out, he holds, not like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that Edim Zomimin is a kanas. We learned that in a previous sugya. Rabbi Yehuda holds, I don't hold by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds it, it's a kanas, but I don't hold it's a kanas. You're right. If I held like Rabbi Akiva, it's a kanas, then these two things have the kanas applying to them. And we can't learn, because they both have a unique kanas applying to them. And therefore, we can't learn from them. But I hold... How can you say
that? Marcos is a kanas.
Good question.
In the case of Edim Zomimim?
In any case. I mean, it's
because the reason why it's a kanas, because it's... I'll tell you why. Because what's the difference? It's kanas opposed to mammon. There's two choices. There's only two choices, kanas or mammon. What does mammon mean? Mammon means compensation. There's no way that... So therefore it has to be a penalty. You don't have a third choice. There's no third choice. There's no other option. You either hold kanas or mammon. They're the two options. So he holds it's kanas. He holds Edim Zomim, the law of Edim Zomim. We're not talking about the law of lashes. Right, the law of Adim Zomim, Kasher Zaman.
To go back to support the original Mishnah of Pei and Lashes?
We're talking about the fact that what is the when the Torah says on Adim Zomim, Kasher Zaman, you should do to them what they try to do to him. What is that thing that you try to do to them? Even in the case of where they have to pay the money that he was going to pay, that's a fine. It's not a compensation. It's not mammon. According to Rabbi Akiva, that's not mammon. That's kanas.
Okay.
And therefore, too, when we switch that law for lashes, because we haven't got anything we can do to them, ben grusha, ben chalutza, right? We can't do anything else, so we need to switch that into lashes instead.
Only.
So it's the same thing.
Lashes only.
So it's the same. So it's the same.
So the lashes
is the same kanas.
It's also kanas.
It's also kanas.
Okay.
So here, so the Gemara is saying, if we hold it's kanas, then both Adim Zomimin is kanas, and for sure Motzi Shemra is kanas. No one's arguing on Motzi Shemra that it's a kanas.
The lashes of Motzi Shemra kanas, or paying the money, paying the money is a kanas. Which one's the kanas?
The money.
That's easy.
So then what have we got? We've got a case where both of them are kanas. For whatever reason, they're both kanas. And because they both have kanas applying to them, we could say it's a
nachon.
So in that case, they both have the uniqueness, which means that we can't learn to the rest of the Torah where the kanas doesn't apply. If these two things have kanas, and other things don't have kanas, so you can't learn out a general rule to other things which have kanas.
From
both of them together.
Okay. Yofi.
But then, so we answer, we say, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold kanas. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. It's only Rabbi Akiva that said it was a kanas.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold it as a kanas.
In both cases?
No, in the case of Adin Zomim. Adin Zomim. And because now we say it's not a kanas, now we don't have a commonality that takes them away from a rule. Before we said, if they both had kanas, you can't learn out, they're unique, they're both kanas. And now we're saying, no, they're not both kanas. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not kanas, it's a mammon. And therefore,
Adim
Zomim, therefore, I can use them. Therefore, they're a good, valid template to learn out the rest of the Torah. We have a template now of a lav she'ein bo maaseh, and there's nothing unique about these cases. They're two random cases. And so you can apply random cases to everything else. There's nothing unique about them. If I held like Rabbi Akiva that they were kanas, for sure there's unique and you can't learn. Because they're unique, they're special, they've got kanas. But I'm not holding like that. Who says I'm like Rabbi Akiva? I don't hold Rabbi Akiva. I hold it's not kanas. And therefore, they're not unique anymore. Therefore, you can learn from them. So, that's the first challenge. We've thrown out, and we're now back. It's good. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda's now got a valid place. The Gemara tries again. It says, "No, I'll show you a different thing. Then, if you don't like the kanas argument, I'll give you a different argument. Ella malat sada shaveh. I can tell you something different. The sada shaveh between them. Sheken yish bahem sad chamor. They both have. Forget kanas. We'll drop that. We'll forget that. You're right. We're not going to say kanas. But I'll tell you something else. What do they have? Sad chamor, they both have astringency. Both of them are stringencies. And if we say that now both of them have stringencies, so the rest of the Torah don't have those stringencies, so
you can't apply it.
You can't apply it. They're unique. They're now unique for a different reason. They're now unique because they've both got stringencies. Why? Double punishment in Motzi Shemra. It's a stringency. Don't see that anywhere else. And what about...
Doesn't need
hatra. That's a stringency. Normally you need to be warned. Here you don't need to be warned. The fact that I don't need to warn you is a big stringency. It's a big chumrah that applies to this case. It's a big stringency. And therefore, they now both have sad shaveh with a uniqueness. You can't learn. Rabbi Yehuda can disprove that too. Rabbi Yehuda, we'll stop with this. Rabbi Yehuda, sad chamor lo parech. Rabbi Yehuda, he does not hold sad chachamor. Lo parich. It doesn't refute it. Why not? Rabbi Yehuda holds, you're right, there is a sad chamor. Both of these things have a chumrah applying. I agree. Motzi Shemra has a chumrah as a double punishment. And Adim Zomimim has a chumrah that you don't even have rah. But you know what? That doesn't stop me. It's not a why, because I don't learn out from it. Why don't I learn out from it? Rashi has the answer to that. Sad chamor lo parich. Why don't we learn out from sad chamor, says Rabbi Yehuda? Obviously the Gemara does, because the Gemara says, I can, why not? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, for me, I don't learn out from here, why not? Ha'il v'omro shelzeh. The chumra shelzeh. Because ha'il, since the chumra shelzeh, the chumra, the stringency of this one, eino chumra shelzeh, is not the same stringency as the stringency of that one, right? Which is part A. That's part A of Rashi. And that's part B is ein tama machloket taluibo. And the reason for the malkot does not depend on it. What are we saying? The reason why we don't learn, says Rabbi Yehuda, from the stringency is two parts. First of all, it's not the same stringency. Right? First of all, it's not the same stringency. Case
before.
A, the stringency is a double punishment. And in case B, the stringency is there's no warning. And they're not the same. That's part A of the rationale why I don't learn from it. Part B is that the reason that I give malkot doesn't depend on either of them. What's the connection here? Rashi's showing us that the reason for my uniqueness is possibly the argument for why there's malkot in that case. The reason in each of these cases we look for a uniqueness,
right.
And that uniqueness in all of these examples is why we said we can't learn from it, because it has a uniqueness. Rashi's telling us that the uniqueness is what we might have thought gave the malkot. And if that's true, that uniqueness brought about malkot in that case, then no other case that doesn't have that uniqueness can have malkot. What is it? It's the fact that the double punishment gave you malkot. It's the fact that the no hatra'ah gave you malkot.
Because no other, it doesn't exist in anything else.
That's the reason that gave you malkot. That's the concern. The concern is you can't learn out because it's that stringency that brought along malkot with it. And so we're saying here that you're right, there's two stringencies. But you see that the stringency is different in each case.
Sure.
So because the stringency is different in each case, it can't be that stringency which brought along the malkot. Because that stringency over there does not apply over here. So it can't be that. So it's a different reason. So therefore, the conclusion of the Gemara is, the conclusion of Rabbi Yehuda is, that you can learn that malkot comes along in any case which has those characteristics. The baseline, the shadash aveh, the commonality in each, is that you've got a lav she'ein bo maser, right? And it's that which gives you malkot. It's not the uniqueness that brings the malkot. It's the commonality that gives you the malkot. It's the characteristic that it's a lav she'ein bo maser. That's what gives you the malkot, says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, now his source at the end of this, that's the end of the sugya, that's the end of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda learns out from the fact that we have cases in the Torah where there's a characteristic called lav she'ein bo maser. And you're right, they have different things, uniquenesses in those cases, but none of those uniquenesses stop you from learning out. And this sugya shows you why. Each of those uniquenesses is not what stops you.
So at the end of the day, Maskad is, he's saying that,
Maskad,
that there's the commonality.
The commonality that allowed you, each by themselves, you've got a problem. You're right, you've got a problem, each one by themselves.
But they're both connected.
There's a problem because the concern is that uniqueness in each case might be what gives you malkot in that case.
But once
you bring two together, and you show that two together, and each one has a different stringency, so for sure, it's not the stringency that gives you the malkot.
It's the commonality
that gives you the malkot.
Fine. Okay.